today, CoreLogic reported some good news, and it has to do with mortgage delinquencies. It's the business news headlines for Tuesday, the 9th day of February. Glad you're here with us again today. In other business news, the rally on Wall Street stalled out. A story about Apple and autonomous vehicles. GameStop saw another drop in value today. Banks and overdraft fees. It's a story and some tips on how to avoid those fees. We've got the Wall Street Report and who let the dog coin out. For the interview, the story from Wallet Hub on the safety of states and COVID-19. My guest from New York City is Jill Gonzalez, a Wallet Hub analyst. But first, the news.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of Taro International, a training company that helps business leaders succeed. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Taro. TERO.com. Focus and Find, socially responsible recruiting, centered on helping businesses build a diverse workforce that is both innovative and productive. FocusandFind.com. Insight on Business, the News Hour, is also supported by the National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, the original ag parts recyclers with members worldwide. Learn more at ntpda.com. And Arion, a solutions provider, bringing unique and scalable business support services and serving for-profit and nonprofit organizations. Aurion.com.
All right. Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Business News Headlines. I'm your host, Michael Libby. And yeah, you can follow us on Twitter all day long at IOB_NewsHour. Well, could there be a silver lining in the pandemic, or at least a little? The Motley Fool says that CoreLogic reported on a national basis that mortgage delinquencies have fallen to their lowest level since March. But, and you knew there would be one, there still are some pockets where homeowners are falling behind at a rising pace. CoreLogic, the property data giant, said in its monthly insights report that 5.9% of mortgages nationwide were at some level of delinquency. That's defined as 30 days or more past due and included foreclosures for the month of November. That's 2 percentage points higher than November of 2019, when the delinquency rate was 3.9% and no pandemic was in sight. The rate, of course, jumped sharply when COVID-19 did arrive, throwing millions of people out of work, but it's now the lowest it's been since that initial jump in April of last year. The company says that, in fact, new delinquencies have fallen below pre-pandemic levels and that serious delinquencies are at their lowest since June of last year. Now, depending on where the economy of a state is centered, that has a lot to do with the number of delinquencies. For example, states that focus on hospitality, like Hawaii and Nevada, have seen a spike in delinquencies. Also, states dependent on oil, like Texas and Louisiana, have also seen delinquencies spike. In addition, there are currently 600,000 mortgages that are in forbearance, and that clock is ticking as those plans run out at the end of March. The six-day rally for the Dow and the S&P 500 ran out of gas today as investors remain focused on further stimulus spending by the government. Good earnings have also propelled the markets over the past several sessions, but today, Wall Street took a pause. I'll share the closing numbers with you in just a bit. According to a report filed by Apple to the California Department of Transportation and reported today by Bloomberg, the company has, in the past year, more than doubled road testing for its self-driving cars as its autonomous technology has improved. The company's cars drove nearly 19,000 miles last year, up from 7,500 miles in 2019. The Cupertino, California-based technology giant also reported 130 disengagements. That's the number of times a human driver had to take over, and that number was up from 64 the year before. Now, if we break those numbers down, we learn that a disengagement happened every 145 miles compared with every 118 miles in 2019. What that suggests is that Apple's self-driving technology has improved in these test settings. Still, the test miles in 2020 lagged the almost 80,000 miles Apple said its cars drove in 2018. That year, the company reported a disengagement about every mile, according to California DMV data. Still, it's unlikely that Apple will launch a self-driving vehicle within the next 5 years. And by the way, Apple stock fell today by 90 cents to $136 and a penny per share. Yesterday, we think, was the first day in, well, over a week that we didn't have a GameStop story for you. Well, let's fix that today. Bloomberg is reporting that the GameStop decline accelerated today, bringing the company closer to erasing all of its gains from last month. Shares of the video game retailer tumbled as much as 22% to fall below the $50 level in New York for the first time since January 21, wiping out about $30 billion in value from its January peak. The stock slump came as trading volume continued to dry up, with about 22 million shares changing hands. That's less than half of what's been seen in the past month. The company has now shed, get this, 90% of its value from an intraday record of $483 on January 28th, when it briefly became the largest company in the Russell 2000 index. Well, you know, banks make a bunch of money off of overdraft fees. How much? Go Banking Rates reports that in 2019, banks collected more than $11 billion in overdraft-related fees. On average, the typical overdraft fee is about $35, which can add up quickly when applied to multiple purchases. Experts expect that fees grew tremendously last year due to the COVID-19 pandemic that left millions of people unemployed. During the pandemic, in fact, 45% of consumers have reached out to their bank to see if there's some way to waive or lower those fees, but getting an answer may take a long time, or it might never happen at all. So, what can you do to put an end to overdraft fees? Let's take a look. First, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau says that you should opt out of automatic overdraft fees. And yes, you can do that. Secondly, you can set up a checking account alert. Many banks allow you to do so. And when your bank balance reaches a specific number, you get an alert. Third, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation recommends linking a savings account or a credit card to your checking account that can be accessed if you buy something that exceeds the funds in your checking account. Fourth, keep a cushion in your account. In other words, never let it reach zero. Pretend that, say, $50 is zero. That way, you have a bit of a cushion. Finally, open an account that doesn't have overdraft fees. Yeah, they do exist. Some banks like Chime offer a program called SpotMe that allows you to make purchases that exceed your current funds up to $100. Instead of an overdraft fee, SpotMe simply takes the amount you spent out of your next deposit. As we said, investors hit the pause button today as the Dow and the S&P 500 both fell from record highs. The Dow was off fractionally, down by nearly 10 points to close at 31,375, while the S&P 500 fell by just over 4 points to settle at 3911. The NASDAQ, however, gained 20 points and closed at 14,007. Yes, another new record close. Shares of Yelp gained 6% in after-hours trading today as the company reported better-than-expected sales and earnings. Twitter posted a 27% user growth number today, but warned that the rate would slow in the coming quarters. Twitter shares were mostly flat in after-hours trading. And if you're interested, Brent crude oil continued its march upward, closing above $61 a barrel. And finally, there is this. The story is, who let the dog coin out? Who let the dogs out? Satirical cryptocurrency Dogecoin is surging because, well, because it is. Following the GameStop saga that saw individual investors chasing stock advice online, Dogecoin's value has jumped by multiples in recent days after tweets from Elon Musk and another Reddit frenzy. The meme coin, created as a joke back in 2013, now has a market value north of $10 billion. You're not making this up. Bitcoin, the largest cryptocurrency, has also rallied to a new all-time high to $47,111 as of today. Meanwhile, Daniel Morrow, the chief investment officer at Army Financial, writes this, quote, Tesla buying Bitcoin is a publicity stunt, and people the world over are hurling themselves over a cliff, falling for it. He went on to write, there is no direct commercial logic behind it. A $1.5 billion investment in Bitcoin for a company with over $19 billion of cash on the books and a market value of over $800 billion simply isn't meaningful, he writes. as far as accepting cryptocurrencies for payment goes, is that really going to help Tesla sell cars? He says, of course not. What this is really about, he writes, is enhancing Tesla's number one asset, without which it would be worth maybe a quarter of its current value. And what is Tesla's big asset? Elon Musk's reputation of an iconoclast and visionary. All right, stay with us, because coming right up is a conversation with Jill Gonzalez, who's an analyst with Wallet Hub, who just released a detailed report about which states in the United States are safe when it comes to COVID-19 and which states, they say, according to their metrics, are unsafe, like really unsafe. Jill Gonzalez and that report, just a click away. Who let the dogs out?